thank you all for being here tonight as we honor Dan and Debbie Richard, and as we recognize and send them off with our prayers and support as God has called Dan and Debbie to gospel ministry. I'd like for you to take your Bibles tonight. First of all, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. We're reminded in the book of Ephesians of the grace gifts that God has given to the church. And we read in Ephesians chapter 4, "Therefore I, verse 1, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." All of us as followers of Jesus, called from something to something. All of us who know Jesus here tonight, called from something to something. We've all been called. Called out of the world. Called away from your sinfulness. Called away from an old life of wickedness. Called from something. Called to follow Jesus. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, describing the church. Just as also you were called. All of my dear friends, followers of Jesus, you've been called, you were called. One day the Lord called your name, He called to you, He drew you to step away from your sin and an old way of life. You heard the call and you responded. You were called in one hope of your calling. We all share a common calling. A common calling to follow Jesus. All of us, the called ones, the church. The very meaning of the word church is called out ones. You are God's called ones. Called out. To be holy in a world of wickedness. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were also called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, the Lord Jesus. One faith, the faith that saved you. And one baptism based on your faith in Jesus Christ. You were baptized, committing yourself to be a lifelong disciple of Jesus. One God and Father of us all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. So to these called ones, to the church, the called ones, each one of us who are called of God, all of us called ones, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Based on the gift of Christ, based on the blessing and the gifting of Christ, the Lord Jesus, our risen, ascended Lord, who now is seated in the heavenly places, alive and well, waiting until He is sent by the Father to come back. Based on the measure of Christ's gift, whatever He measures out to us as His called ones, He has given to each of us grace. Therefore it says, when He ascended on high, He led captive a host of captives. Yes, He did. When Jesus rose from the dead and He ascended, taking away bondage to sin and wickedness. Now we are His slaves. He led captive a host of captives. And please notice, He gave gifts to men. So I look today at this group of people here gathered who are followers of Jesus, at a gifted group of people. You are gifted ones. with grace gifts measured by Christ for you who are the called. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also who ascended far above all the heavens so that he, the Lord Jesus, might fill all things. And then Paul describes Christ's gift to the church, to the called ones. Out of the called ones are another group of called ones. The called of the called. It's a secondary calling. It's a call of the called. It's not a calling for all. It is a requirement placed on those to whom the Lord chooses to place this calling for them to respond. And he gave some. He gave some. The Lord Jesus gave some. His grace gifts to the church. He gave to the church. He gave to the called ones. Some as apostles. We thank God for the apostles. The apostle Paul being one of them. Apostle, what does it mean? The sent ones. Our New Testament is in our hands because of the apostles who received and took upon themselves the call of God. While we're thinking about apostles, I would ask you to quickly turn in your Bible to two places. Romans chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul introduces himself to a church that was already in existence, the Roman church. Romans chapter 1, 1, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle. He did not take this upon himself. He was called out of the called. First saved, baptized, a full follower of Jesus, but then another calling, a calling upon a called one. Called to be an apostle, set apart. A calling that set him apart for one purpose. For the gospel of God. And we're grateful for all of what we have in God's Word, in our English Bibles, in the New Testament, written and given to us by these apostles, Peter and John, James and Paul, and how blessed we are. He gave some as apostles. He gave some as prophets. We see in the early chapters of the book of Acts, those prophets who stood to warn and to guide the church as the Holy Spirit was beginning to do His work in the church. The prophets who spoke before the whole of the New Testament was put together while they were sharing the gospel. He gave some. He called out of the called. He called out of the called some apostles, some prophets, and some pastors. Poimei. That's the Greek word. Poimei, shepherds. To put in order the church, to oversee and watch and care and teach and preach and carry out the pastoral work for the early church. Some called out. Their calling is first to salvation, but a second call comes to some, not to all. And those who have experienced the other call never regret it. But there are some in the church who have experienced that call and resisted it. Some still do in this church. That's why they're not so happy. That's why they're not living with joy. They have resisted the calling of the called to ministry. And God calls some as teachers. Our church has some teachers. Some pastors, some teachers. Yes, it's pastors who teach, but it's pastors and another category, teachers. And tonight we honor Dan Richard, who has served as one of our teachers. Oh, it's a serious thing to be a teacher of the Word of God. I remind all of my friends here who stand and teach the Word of God, just like I do. Let not many of you become teachers. You will incur a stricter judgment. Some teachers. And we're grateful for the teachers that make up First Baptist Church Dixon, who have for many years. And he gave some. These called of the called are a gift to the church. Sadly, sometimes the gifts Jesus gives to his church aren't treated very well. But who's to say? We're servants. We do as we do because of a calling. Calling requires sacrifice. Calling requires stepping away from an old way of life and going to a new way of life. Calling means you turn your back on what you were going to do and you go where the Lord says He wants you to go, regardless of the address. Sometimes the calling comes at an early age. I'm grateful for the experience of being called by God when I was 14 years old. I'm grateful for it. And sometimes God's calling comes later in age. So how is it that God puts together these pastors for His churches? They are the called of the called. They're not better than the called. They're one of the called. But those who serve as pastors and teachers are a gift to this church. Verse 12, He gave them for the equipping of the saints for work. We have work to do, First Baptist Church. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. And we keep equipping and we keep building and encouraging. How long? Until, verse 13, we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Oh, we have work to do. To a mature man. To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. The called of the called. So tonight we honor one who has stepped forward to say to us and demonstrated in his years of service in this church as one God gave to teach, who serves, has served us faithfully and lived his life before us, as one who was surprised by the grace of God, who said to him just a few years ago, "It is time for you to preach." When a church experiences those who take seriously the call of God and they leave to do it, it is an honor to the church. May we never forget it. May we never forget it. And may we pray for others who are called but who won't go. So tonight we think about and we honor our friend Dan Richard and of course Debbie. I'd like for you to take your Bible now and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. So tonight we honor this called one who is coming to us to say, "God has called me out." He's leaving his friendships here. He's leaving his time here. He's leaving his past job. You see, if God calls you, you have to step away from everything else you do. You can't add it on. It doesn't work that way. It's not for the called of the call to sit around and complain that they've been called. It is for the called of the call to recognize and honor the Lord Jesus that they have had been counted worthy as one who can go and share and preach and teach with the gifts that they have to advance the gospel. This is God's way. God's people with God-called leaders. First Timothy 3:1. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, to the office of bishop, that's another interchangeable word for pastors. Pastors, sometimes the word elder is used for pastor, sometimes the word bishop is used. They're interchangeable, describing different functions of the same office. There are only two offices in the church, the office of pastor and the office of deacon. And they're highlighted here in this chapter. So as Paul comes to talk about this, as it will occur, Timothy had the same experience of some who demonstrated a giftedness and a calling on their life beyond their call to salvation. And he says it is a trustworthy statement. If any man, young or old, aspires to the office of bishop. Bishop means overseer, one who watches over the work. It is a fine work he desires to do. And having had the honor of being a pastor for most of my life, it is a good work to do. It's a God-called work to do. You don't serve at the pleasure of people. You serve at the pleasure of the Lord. And that's the way it gets done. A bishop then must be above reproach. The husband of one wife. Temperate. Prudent. Respectable. Hospitable. Able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. Must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. If a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So tonight we come to honor Dan Richard, who has expressed to us all and demonstrated through his life that God has placed upon him a new calling for this season of his life. We take it seriously. We now have someone we must pray for regularly, though he'll be close by. He has gone from us to do what God's called him to do. I'd like for Jim Call and for Jeff Hooks and Ken Metcalf, if you'll come make your way to the front, if you're in here. Ken, are you in here? There's Ken, Jeff. Come on, gentlemen, come on down to the front. Tonight, because we won't all be able to give our testimonies, we've asked these to come. Jim Call serves as the vice chairman of our deacons, and Jeff Hooks serves as the secretary for our deacons. At this time of in the life of our church, Dan Richards serves as the chairman of our deacons, and Ken Metcalf is our associate pastor for children and preschool. I've asked each of them to come and speak in honor of Dan and Debbie. So tonight we settle in, we take our time to do what we don't get to do often. And not only should this be memorable for Dan and Debbie, and thank you for coming to honor them with your presence, but perhaps God will use this for someone else. So Jim, if you'd come at this time, Jim's going to say a few words, and then Jeff, you come just in order, and then Ken, and then we'll move along with some other things.
Good evening. I must admit that as far as any direct relationship with Dan, it's only just been since January that I've worked with Dan as in the deacon officer position, fully aware of his serving in many capacities with teaching and different various committees and various projects. So although observed and known, I've only had direct involvement with Dan just since January. But I must say, for what I've seen of his character, I must highlight his organizational skills. He will basically plan out the whole year of the deacon meetings and adjust afterwards as he needs to. But he's planned ahead and he has very high organizational skills. He is compassionate, very concerned over the flock, very concerned over the work of the Lord, that things are followed through and are deemed successful and appropriate to God. He has great faithfulness, both in his service, but is also into his family and to his Lord. And while doing that, he's very humble. So I highlight these things in respect that with his decision, with his decision to accept the calling into pastoral care, those are very admirable traits to be able to carry through. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Jim.
Dan, Debbie? Oh, I didn't even touch it.
Just take it out.
I don't think I really need that, but that's better. I've had the privilege to serve alongside Dan and Debbie for the last year and a half in a Bible study class that we started in the 10:30 hour. When I look at the attributes that we just covered in 2 Timothy 3, Dan and Debbie both personify all of those attributes. Tremendous leadership skills, tremendous knowledge of the Bible, vulnerability as a leader, willing to share his own vulnerabilities, just great organizational skills, as Jim has already talked to. There's not a doubt in my mind that God has called him to do what he is doing, and there's no better place that you can be than to where God has called you to be. It's been an honor, a privilege to serve alongside of you. Dan and Debbie have worked tirelessly in this fellowship, as many of you know. A couple things that come to mind that I wanted to share that I've observed over the last several years that I've been had a chance to work alongside them and serve with them. One of them, obviously, when you think of VBS, Debbie automatically comes to mind. She has been the driving force for our VBS for several years now. She will be sorely missed, I'm sure, this next coming year. Debbie, thank you for all you've done there. Most recently, I observed Dan during a very somber, sad time in our community when we hosted the funeral for Sergeant Daniel Baker. Dan and Debbie both were here all day, both days that all the activities were going on here, serving tirelessly, providing direction, providing solace where needed. Just tremendous, tremendous. As I observe them, I observe two people that really, really love God and really have compassion for other people. So Dan and Debbie, you will be missed. I am the song that Jeff played, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go," very special. You couldn't be in a better place than where you are right now, going where God has called you to go. We will miss you. God bless you as you go.
Jim and Jeff, thank you so much. But I got to tell you, you kind of had the hardest part because you spoke to Dan, and I get to speak to his better half. Right? Amen, Dan? Oh, good answer. Good answer. All right. I get to speak about Debbie, and I know Debbie's looking at me, and she is like, I let me out of here. She does not like this. And so I've got 4 points. 5 minutes, 4 points. Yeah, I can do this. There's four things I want to talk about with Debbie. And before I do that, I start listing things about her that I can remember from the past. And this is not an obituary. This is not a retirement announcement. This is, look at what they've done and what has happened within our church and how God has blessed them. And look at where we're sending them and look at where they're going. So the first thing, somebody mentioned it already, if there's three letters that you link Debbie with in this church is what? VBS. Yeah, VBS. And she'll tell you really quick, the reason that is she came to know Christ in VBS. And so she has an unusual passion, more than most people, above and beyond for Vacation Bible School. And she's highly motivated for kids, every kid, to know Christ. And that's evident when she does it. When it comes time for VBS, whether we're preparing for VBS or whether we're starting one of the days of VBS, she's usually one of the first people here and one of the last people to leave. And she's working all the way through. Usually, if she's not one of the first people here, you know what I see? A bunch of grandkids in tow coming with her. And I said, oh yeah, I know why she's not the first one here. That's why. Right? But that's pretty awesome. And that's another thing we'll get to. Here's one of the things I loved about when she would plan for VBS. Although she took it a lot more comfortably than I did. When we would not have somebody to do a job or there'd be a bunch of holes, she would say, God has a plan. Or God has not sent us that person yet. And I really appreciated that faith that took to say, well, it's coming, or maybe it won't come, but it's God's plan. And I really appreciated that. The next thing I want to share with you about is prayer camp. Debbie and Dan worked together. They were almost a tandem team in doing prayer camp and coordinating and doing details. Debbie would go out in the hallway and recruit attendees and volunteers for it. She saw a high value in prayer. And bringing people and calling them to prayer. The other thing I wanted to mention was mission trips. And so for this one, I didn't go with her on mission trips. I didn't know what to talk about, so I called Betty and Charlie Hawkins. you can't see her. I can see her from up here, and her lips are going, oh my goodness. Yeah. And so they said, here's what they said, she's not afraid to get out of her comfort zone if it's necessary. And then they gave me an embarrassing story to go with it. they said in India, and I didn't know this until just recently, Debbie's left-handed. In India, you always eat with your right hand. They see the left hand as being unclean, so you eat with your right hand. So in order not to offend anybody, she would eat with her right hand, her wrong hand. Try that when you get home, with her wrong hand. It's one of those things, just a small thing to get out of your comfort zone, but she realized there was something bigger than her. Betty and Charlie says they've been faithfully involved in missions for many years, both in recruiting and participating. And particularly with the mission orphanage in India, they were particularly involved in that. This year in BBS, our offering that we took went to the orphanage in India for uniforms and books. And so she's been involved in missions. The last thing I wanted to share, she probably wouldn't realize I would share this, is personal stories. Sometimes it's easy to come to church and say, oh, things are good. Yeah, things are fine. Yeah, things are always good. But she would share personal stories about struggles they went through and hard times they went through and when things weren't quite so easy. Some insights, some difficulties. And one of the things I appreciated is she would talk about, and it always came around to family first, you know, how she would focus on her family. Whether that was doing VBS and had the grandkids in tow or whatever. She would focus on her family, and I really appreciated that. So we're going to miss you. It wasn't so bad. It wasn't so bad. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken and Jim and Jeff. So we've asked Dan to come, and Dan, we want you to take the time you need. We're fine. We've come to honor you and Debbie, and we want to hear from you for a few minutes, and you share with us. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for Dan and Debbie. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be with them in these days of change. We thank you, Lord, for the beginning of their work here. We thank you for the ending of their work here. We pray that you might make them an example to our church of how you call us to follow you. Bless Dan now as he speaks to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." And I accepted Jesus when I was just a kid, a very small young boy, and was raised in a Christian home and came to know more about the Savior that I invited into my life and who accepted me as one of his kids. And that changed my life. It did then, and it has continued to do that over the years. And as I grew and started to follow Christ more and understand what that meant, and then grow in knowledge and faith, God continued to work in my life. And so one of the principles of the experiencing God, one of the first things is you will see God at work around you. And if you pay attention and if you watch, it's been a blessing for me over these years to watch God at work and to see his hand in my own life and in the lives of others. It's been a real treasure to be a part of God at work, both in my life and others as well. God demonstrated himself in so many ways. I remember going to college. I met Debbie there, and that was, you know, has been a real treat for me, and I appreciate her so much. And you couldn't have said more nice things that were, you know, and I appreciate you being very kind to her. I love Debbie, and that was a great work of God that brought us together and has called us to serve together over these years. And so I would not be here without her, and I understand that, and I'm grateful for you. That was one of the things where I saw God at work. And he gave us a tremendous time together, and we've served the Lord together. There wouldn't be the rest of the testimony if she was the different lady. So I just want to take a minute and say thank you to you. Thank you. God continues his love relationship with us. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. and I will love him and manifest myself to him. It doesn't take very long following Jesus till you know what he's telling you to do, does it? And it wasn't like I was five. I'm not five. Can you tell that? Yeah. I wasn't called to be a preacher when I was five. I wasn't called to be a preacher when I was 25. I wasn't called to be a preacher when I was 45. Nah, I'm going to stop right there, okay? It wasn't that I was called to be a preacher. It was I was called to follow Jesus. And each day as I study his word and as I learn from him, he gives me his commandments. He teaches me what to do. And because I love him, I do what he says. The third principle in the experiencing God is God invites you to become involved in his work. And I've been privileged over these years, and you have put up with and embraced and accepted me to serve. And I appreciate that so much. It's been an honor to serve the Lord here. I don't take those responsibilities lightly at all. I served with everything I had. I gave my best every time. And I will continue to do that because it wasn't for you. It really wasn't. It was for the Lord. And so I understand that, and he invited me to join him in this work here. And I so much appreciate First Baptist. I so much appreciate you allowing me to serve in the ways that you've allowed me to serve. God speaks, and he reveals his purpose in his ways. I have been privileged to teach the Word of God, but more than teach it, I've been blessed to be recipient of it. And we've been blessed that we have a pastor who preaches God's Word, and I appreciate Pastor Mike so much. Thank you for that. And I appreciate that he opens the Bible and he shares with us from this book. When I leave this place and I prepare to study, I don't study books until I've studied this book. And this book is how God has spoken to me and called me because I was paying attention to his word. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. It's been a blessing over these years that I've been in business to know his prompting and to sense where he was leading and then to be responsive to that. For so many years, I was a business guy, and I didn't ever see myself being anything but a business guy. I don't downplay that. That was my calling. I felt that that was where God wanted me to be, and I gave myself to business and to what I did with 100%. God blessed that work, and he blessed the ability to do ministry through work. And, you know, someone said to me, well, you know, it's about time you followed the Lord's call. And, well, you know, I wasn't called then to be a pastor. I was called to follow Jesus. And so I did that in my business. And alongside of Debbie and our family, we served the Lord there. And we were blessed in many ways to be able to be business people. And I learned a lot. Through the business world, I learned, you know, all those issues that I have, like planning for a year in advance, and you know, doing all the how to make plans and how to structure things and how to lead and all that. Well, that the Lord did through the business experience that I've had. And so, as we were serving the Lord there, I served there. Like it was God's business, like that was what I was supposed to be doing, and I did it with all my heart. And God blessed, and then there was a time when, in our quiet time, Debbie and I would sit and we would say, you know, God's doing stuff and we need to pay attention. And it became evident at one point that we were supposed to sell the businesses. And I'm not ready to retire. I wasn't then, and I wasn't called to preach, so I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I was doing. But I just knew that God was telling me, was prompting me through His Word and through the Holy Spirit. Dan, there's another thing that I want you to do. And so you're going to sell businesses. And I got to tell you, the first time that came to my mind, I thought, oh, Lord God, don't do that to me. He who loves me will obey my commandments. And it was a test of my faith and my time of commitment to the Lord. And so we made arrangements to sell the business. Along the way, when I had made that decision, anybody who understands what you do when you go to sell a business, I started working the balance sheet and I started doing things and making arrangements. And Debbie looked at me one afternoon and said, you know, if the Lord's telling us to sell the business, maybe you ought to just sell the business. So my 2-year plan of arranging a balance sheet became a 3-month, okay, dear, let's do it. And the Lord honored that, and we sold our businesses. And at the same time, the Lord was prompting me to finish school and be ready to do what He wanted me to do. And so I said, okay, that was an interesting thing. You don't go to school at this age back and try to finish stuff. And, you know, I stand here today telling you it's not easy, but God has made it available. And He's done what He needs to do to make me able to do it. And so we finished our degree, and then thought, well, there you go, I did that. And next prompting was to go to seminary, and so we enrolled in seminary, and I'm still working through that. And, you know, that's been a challenge for sure. But God is faithful, and He has made a way for us to do that. I will say that along that way, about, I don't know how long, it's been probably 3 or 4 years, something like that, 2 or 3 years, so I didn't plan it very well, did I? But it was about 2.5 years ago when I told Pastor Mike, look, I don't know what's going on, but we're gonna sell businesses, and I don't know where the Lord's going to take us. I don't know what He's telling me, but I don't know where He's going to use us, but here's what we're going to do. And Pastor Mike was supportive of that, and we prayed, and we spent some time together over that, and I thank him for that counsel and help during that time. And then, you know, then the ball started to roll, and things started to happen, and I wish I could take the time, and I won't because it's boring probably to anybody who's not inside of me, but I wish I could share with you all of the ways in which God opened and shut doors along the way, because it's just been amazing. So, you know, we said, okay, Lord, we'll do anything, we'll go anywhere. There you go. And, you know, I've said that for all my life. Lord, I'll do anything, I'll go anywhere. I'm yours. It's a little different when the Lord says, okay, here, try this. And so we did some mission trips. We went over and spent some time overseas and did some things there. I did a seminar for a mission group, and they loved the seminar. It was a leadership conference. What's not to love about a leadership meeting? And we led that thing, and the Lord was working there. And, you know, it was an amazing thing to watch that work. But we came back and said, you know, if we're going to do missions, then we need to sign up for some more mission trips. And so we had planned for 4 other mission trips, and we made one. Because the other mission trips, the Lord shut the doors. And we went to India and loved our time there. It was a great time to serve. I love Anirudh. I love the ministry there. We still correspond with him and are supportive of him in that ministry. But when we got back, we knew that was not where God wanted us to serve. And through his word and through our prayer time and through the time when we would discuss things, it was, the Lord wants us to be here. I don't know why and I don't know how, but this is where we need to be. And so we went forward in that line. And then there's just been an amazing amount of things. So you would say to me, Dan, did you ever think you'd be a pastor? No, I didn't. It wasn't on my hit list. It wasn't on a thing of I needed to do in my life. It wasn't something that I thought, well, you know, that'd be fun. It never crossed my mind. And so when the Lord prompted me on that, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything. Well, will you? Will you be a pastor? I kind of thought to myself, I can easily say yes because God will never ask me to do that. He'll shut that door too. And I said yes. I had a conversation with Pastor Mike one afternoon, and I told him, I said, you know, I just don't know if I could prepare, I think it's, these were the words, I just don't know if I could prepare a sermon every week. Do you feel that way? What if God called you to be a pastor? And he shared with me the blessing of being a pastor. He shared with me a blessing of studying the word and be able to share it with people. And I understand that because I do that every Sunday. And I drove away that afternoon, and on my way back to Centerville, I thought, oh, boy, all right, Lord, here it goes. I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, and I'll even be a pastor. And at that time, I had no idea that there would be a guy call me 2 weeks later and say, hey, have you ever considered being a pastor? Out of the blue, a guy I hadn't talked to for 3.5 years. And I thought at the time when I got that phone call of how cool it is that God would make me say my commitment to someone else out loud. But it really kind of ticked me off, too. And so when I got that call and I got that question, I said, you know what? I've made a commitment. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. And I'll even be a pastor. But I want to tell you something. I think it's funny that you'd ask me that question because God's not going to call me to be a pastor. Over the next 2 weeks, events happened. I taught on a Wednesday night Bible study. Someone asked me if I'd go do a Wednesday night Bible study in another church. I said, yes, I'd be glad to. I love to teach the Bible. I love God's word. I love to dig in the Gospels, and I love to dig into his word, and I love to share that with people. And I told them, yeah, I'll be glad to do that. And oddly enough, I thought, well, there you go. I've been asked to do that before. That'll probably wash out. That's fine. I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing to go. And I got a call, and they asked me to come and do Bible study. And oh, my. Then it started to roll, didn't it? And all of a sudden, the Lord was pushing, and the Lord was working on doors, and other things closed where we thought we were going to go do some things, and all of a sudden, here we are. To where in June, I taught Wednesday night Bible studies in the church, and you know, eventually they came to a point where they would invite me to be a pastor. Make major adjustments to join God. The crisis of belief, for me was selling businesses, because I felt like that was where I needed to be and what I was going to do the rest of my life. Selling businesses, saying yes to God and meaning it, yeah, even to be a pastor. I left our Sunday school class this morning, and I went to that church and I preached the Sunday morning message. It was the very first Sunday morning message I've ever preached. But God was there through that whole thing. And He confirms through people, He confirms through you folks, and He confirms through His Word, and He confirms through His Holy Spirit that that's exactly what I'm supposed to do. And so I'm standing before you tonight. As I said to the Lord 4 years ago, as I said to the Lord 2 months ago, and I say it again, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, I'll even be a pastor. God bless you.
Dan, stay up here with me if you will. Dan, what is the name of the church?
It's First Baptist Church, Pinewood.
And it's located on?
Highway 48 South.
All right, mm-hmm. Between here and Centerville.
Yes.
So as we all travel those roads, we'll be reminded and be praying for Dan. So Dan and Debbie, would you please come and stand here beside me? Both of you, Dan, Debbie, come on over here by me. In the in Southern Baptist life, one of our processes that we are engaged in from church to church, because churches are independent, even though we cooperate together, the sending church always does what is called, and it seems a little bit strange. We provide those who go from us to serve as pastors and express the calling of God on their life with what is called a license, a certification, a license. It does not qualify them anymore for their work. They're qualified by God and called by God. But tonight we give this. So the process is that our church is the sending church. They now, Dan now serves as the pastor at First Baptist Church.
It's not
official. When is your first day?
August 12th.
August 12th. First Baptist Church of
Pinewood.
So on August 12th, Dan will begin his pastorate at First Baptist Church, Pinewood. He is already an ordained deacon, but in Baptist life, there will be another process of ordination that the church that he is called to will determine in time when they believe it is the appropriate opportunity to set Dan aside and apart for gospel ministry. So our obligation is to pray for him, to bless him, encourage him, and then to send them with our support. And we do it by this certification. This is to certify. Some of you don't know his middle name, but now you're going to know it. Only what his mother said to him. Daniel Lee Richard.
All the time.
This is to certify Daniel Lee Richard, who has given evidence that God has called him into the gospel ministry, was licensed to preach the gospel as he may have opportunity, and to exercise his gifts in the work of the ministry by First Baptist Church on this day of the 29th of July of 2018. So, if you join me in supporting the calling of Dan to go and to carry out this new work, would you stand, please?